Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of John in chapter 6. The book of John in chapter 6. On Sunday nights, we've been preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And looking at it just a little bit different, it's a study through the Gospels. And just looking at what Jesus Christ actually taught. And of course, that's what we need more than anything else, is the teachings of our Lord. Last week, of course, we're in the third year of the life, the public ministry of Christ, and that's the year of opposition. The last lesson we taught was on him presenting himself as the bread of life. And he is the bread of life. And as he presented that, he was getting across the message that he could and would sustain them. He could and would sustain them. And he can and he will sustain us today. And they needed to see him as that bread of life. Well, tonight we're going to continue with that thought, and we're going to be reading the rest of here, John chapter 6, verse 47, and we'll read down to verse 66. And so if you'll go ahead and stand with me tonight. Jesus, as he presents himself as the bread of life, he's also the water. He's also the door, and he presented himself in several different ways so that they would see that he is what they need. And he begins after this to prepare them for the New Testament communion, the New Testament Lord's Supper that he would establish before he would ascend, and before he would actually go to the cross and ascend up to heaven. He had something that would be very special for the church and the born-again believers, and that is communion. We will be observing communion next Sunday night, Easter Sunday night. We always do every year. We usually have communion three times a year, sometimes four, but it is a very special time. It's for us to remember the sacrifice, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we read this, realize that's what's taking place. They have no understanding. Of course, their understanding is Old Testament, a Passover, where the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Well, he is that sacrificial lamb. And so as you read this, realize that's what he is starting now to prepare them for, and that is this idea of New Testament communion. And so let's start reading here. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And again, we love you, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity to be back in church. And thank you for your word and, Lord, opportunity to have a better understanding and grow in our knowledge and faith in your word. I pray tonight, God, as we study this, that you would help each one to open up their hearts and minds to receive what you have for them to receive. I pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 60, the Bible says, many, therefore, of his disciples. Now, those were those who were following him, not necessarily saved, but they were looking to follow him. When they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And then verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples, same group, went back and walked no more with him. They walked away. As we draw closer to the end of this New Testament church age, the Bible reveals to us that there is going to be an apostasy, a falling away from the teachings of Christ, and many will simply walk away. Well, it's sad to think about that. That in a congregation this size tonight, there will be many in this room. Hopefully not too many. But who will walk away? Any one of us could walk away if we allow the devil to blind us to the truth. And the only way that we can keep from being blinded to the truth is for us to move to a higher spiritual level of faith. And this is what Jesus was doing with these disciples. He wanted to move them to a higher spiritual level of faith. Because when our understanding, as it was for them in verse 60, this is a hard saying. When our understanding is challenged, we'll do one of two things. We'll walk away, or we will move to a higher spiritual level of faith to be able to understand. Up until this point in John chapter 6, we find that Jesus had performed many miracles for them to witness who he was and who he claimed to be. They had witnessed him feeding the 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread and fishes. They actually, many of them had witnessed him walking on the water. Jesus now, because he still realized who was not saved and who was not all in, who were still needing to come to a higher level of understanding, spiritual understanding, he brings to them this passage of scripture that we read here tonight. If you didn't understand the New Testament as we do, if you didn't understand communion and you heard the words that he taught, eat his flesh, drink his blood. Well, you would think that, and rightly so, being a cult. No way could this be of God. Unless you move to a higher spiritual level of understanding to realize that he was not speaking of his actual body, he was not speaking of his actual blood, but it would be symbolic. The bread that we take in communion is symbolic of his body. The juice that we drink in communion is symbolic of his blood. And that's what he was trying to get them, and they would be he would be preparing them for that actual ordinance that he would establish for the New Testament church. And so he wanted to present this to move them to a higher spiritual level of faith. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. You need to understand that. Verse 51, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. This is a spiritual understanding here. That came down from heaven. There is a heaven. I came from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, and he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We look back now, and we see he laid his life down. He gave of his flesh. Yeah. Verse 53, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat this flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So salvation would be based upon belief and reception of this gift as a sacrificial lamb. The only way that we can understand this is move to a higher spiritual level. It is the Spirit, verse 63, that quickeneth. It's going to reveal it to your heart. It's going to help you to understand. Make it alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. If you just look at this from a fleshly, worldly viewpoint, then you're not going to grow in your understanding. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They're spiritual. And it's what we have need of. They are life. Many were not at this level. Verse 30. John chapter 6 here, again we see it all through the chapter 6. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You've already seen him feed the 5,000. You've seen the miracles. He's raised the dead. He walked on water. And you're still not there. You're saying, well, I need to have more. You have to show me more. I need to be able to see it for myself. I need to be able to touch it and feel it. You got to show me a sign. We don't live and walk by signs. We live and walk by faith. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus a son of Joseph? Whose father and mother we know. How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Still, they're thinking fleshly, worldly. They're not looking at it as the only begotten Son of God, virgin-born Son of God. They're not looking to him as the Messiah. In verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? If you heard those sayings without a spiritual understanding of things, you would be saying the same thing. But he had presented himself. He had revealed to them. He had proven that who he was the only begotten Son of God. They were carnal. They were carnal, and because they were carnal, they did not want to move to a higher spiritual level of faith. Some people just don't want to be accountable for spiritual understanding. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand. Through faith. Now we today look at this, and of course we have the faith because we have the Word of God to base our faith upon as well, and we understand more today than what we did then. But we have to believe the Bible by faith, and then we have to accept the words of the Bible by faith. But it's there in written form that God has recorded for us. So tonight, with that understanding, I think you're with me here as far as what he's teaching, why he's teaching it, all the things that are taking place. Understandably, if I'm not moving to a higher spiritual level of understanding, I'm not going to understand this. And if I don't understand the things of God, I'm going to walk away. So let's focus on this idea of what we need to do and moving to a higher spiritual level of faith. The way to do this, I believe, is look at the most common reasons that Satan, he does not want us to grow, he does not want us to see, he wants to keep us blinded and in the dark. The most common reasons that Satan uses to get many to walk away from Christ. I would imagine that if you've been saved for any time at all, tonight you're aware of those that have walked away. 37 years of church ministry here, you know, I'm aware, fully aware of many through the years that just have walked away. And you think, were they saved or not? Were they just blinded? Did they not want to grow? Did they not want to understand? Many of us possibly have people on our minds right now that you're still wondering, how could they just walk away? How could they do that? Well, we find here that Jesus was establishing, first and foremost, what's most important in the New Testament church age is New Testament doctrine. Old Testament, he was not preaching against Old Testament. That was a school teacher. It was to bring us to a better understanding of the purpose of the Old Testament. It's always been God's will for us to live in New Testament Christianity. We couldn't have New Testament Christianity if it was not for the coming of the Messiah and the preparation, the leading up to that, and the nation of Israel as we understand the Old Testament. And we could not fulfill the time span in the 1,000-year millennial reign, if it wasn't for Israel, there would not be a 1,000-year millennial reign, a kingdom that's set up. So it's all there. It's all in the Bible there. And so what Jesus did, he came to fully get us to fully understand New Testament doctrine that we are to live by until the rapture of the church, the second coming of Christ. They wanted to follow as long as they were being fed, as long as it was going their way, until he started to teach them doctrine. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, and ye believe on him whom he has sent." They said, therefore, unto him, "What sign showest thee?" He already gave them a sign. He said, you need to believe on him whom he has sent. You need to look at me as the Messiah. You need to see me as the only way that you're going to go to heaven. Verse 47, verse 48, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." That bread, there's no other bread. God's plan for salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. There is no other plan. The doctrine of salvation is what's most important. Over in the book of 2 John, let me just read this to you. 2 John in verse 9. 2 John verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." People have walked away from the true church because they didn't understand that there's only one plan of salvation. And when you preach the Bible, especially as we as Baptists, We are not Protestants, nor are we Catholic. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. We didn't come out with all some of the Catholic beliefs and some and left behind whatever we didn't leave behind. But no, we take our doctrines all the way back to Christ. We take our doctrines all the way back to John the Baptist, the baptizer. He was a forerunner for Jesus Christ, and he presented Jesus as the Messiah, as God's plan for everlasting life. And there's people who said, you Baptists, you believe that you're the only ones that have it right. You're the only ones that's going to go to heaven. Yeah. Not because I'm a Baptist. Because the Bible says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus taught that. There is one way to heaven. It's for the whole world. And yet people hear that and they think, well, you think you're the only ones. No, it's what the Bible says. Don't follow me as a Baptist. Follow me as a Biblicist. And once you follow me as a Biblicist, you will become Baptist. The Bible makes me Baptist. I've said that so many times because it's true. It is the Bible that is, it is the words of God. God has preserved it for us today. And heaven and hell, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away because it's got the hand of God upon it. God is preserving it, and all we need to do is look at it and study it and preach it and teach it and accept it as the eternal words of God. Even when you can't fully understand, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Once you understand communion, does that bother anybody here? No, because you understand communion. You've raised your understanding to a higher level than what you did before you understood communion. If you would just read that and say, he expects for us to drink his blood and eat his flesh, we might all walk away unless we would understand why he said it and what it represented. We have communion, we do. We take the wafer, we take the bread, and as we put it in our mouth, he established communion before he ever went to the cross. It does not turn into the body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ. When you drink of that juice, and that's the fruit of the vine, that is not fermented wine. Our Lord would never drink fermented wine. It is the fruit of the vine. And as we drink of that fruit of the vine, we are to remember the blood. Because he did shed his holy, pure, sinless blood on the cross for us. And I can accept it and be strengthened by it because I have a spiritual understanding and I'm not thinking of it in a physical, fleshly way. Doctrines are that way. The doctrine of salvation. I just preach the Bible. You cannot be blinded to think you can get to heaven by your own works. You cannot be blinded. You should not. I don't want anyone to be blind to think that you can purchase heaven, that you can give money to get to heaven, or you could give money to help people that already died and went to a place of hell. I mean, come on, that's not Bible. But people walk away. Because you say that there's only one plan. And then you say, if you don't receive Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. I can't believe that you would scare people into making a profession of faith. No, it's just reality. Hell is a real place. The Bible describes it. The Bible reveals more about the place of hell than it does the place of heaven. you just don't get upset when you talk about heaven, because that's all positive. That's all what I want to think, and I'm going there. Well, you're not going there if you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the body and the blood that was shed for you. No matter how upset you get, you might get upset and you might walk away. That's not going to change the facts. There's one plan of salvation, and there is a devil's hell that we need to be delivered from. And when you're delivered from it, you are given everlasting life. That's exactly what Jesus was teaching. We don't understand doctrine, so we walk away. We don't understand holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what the Bible says. Holiness, you have to separate yourself from worldliness. Holiness is you have to identify yourself with Christ instead of the world. I can't continue to live my life looking to identify with the world and expect the blessings of God. Now, there is a time frame that God gives us. We are all born into the family of God as children. And as children, we need to grow in our understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. Don't you try to be the Holy Spirit of somebody else. Let them grow. Let them spend some time. They come around the Word of God. They hear the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God is going to convict them. He's going to lead them to be separate, saith the Lord. To separate yourselves from the things of this world and the associations of this world. And separate yourself to Christ, wanting to be more Christ-like. How many people have walked away from the truth because of a lack of understanding of these things, of these doctrines? They just chose to walk away instead of choosing to go to a higher level of spiritual understanding. It's available to all of us. Increased our faith. Jesus told the disciples what they needed to hear. And they said, Lord, we believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Increase our faith. Yeah. Help me to grow to a higher level of understanding so I don't walk away. Doctrine. The second thing that many, I believe even believers, have walked away from, because they've never got to the spiritual level of understanding, giving. Giving of yourself. Giving of your tithes. Giving of your offering. It's giving unto the Lord that which God demands. And He does demand it. It's part of Christianity. We have to move beyond the flesh. Again, there in chapter 6 and verse 63. It is a spirit that quickeneth, convicts us, makes it, brings it to life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Do you look at your giving to God as a spiritual endeavor? The Bible says it's the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. When you love money more than you love God, you'll walk away. But when you raise your understanding and your spiritual level to a higher level, then you replace a carnal mind with a spiritual mind. A carnal-minded person will never be able to give according to God's word. Won't understand it. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, we find here, and Paul is presenting here, and this is faith promise. This is, and we'll be looking more in this in the month of June, but it's offering. But it's a mentality of how we give. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 7 and 8, therefore, as you abound in every, now hold up, chapter 9, verse 7, 8, that's where I want you to go. Chapter 8 and 9 is the offering, is faith, promise, giving. But in chapter 9, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, in your heart, the seat of the emotions, my feelings. So let him give. And if it's not done spiritually, giving grudgingly. Grudgingly is with regret. Whenever you give of your time and you think, well, I could be out golfing, you're not going to be blessed. Whenever you give of your money and we give of your tithe, you think, just what I could do with that 10%. I could have a bigger house. I could have a better car. Or when you put in that offering and you put in that gift that God, or the tithe that God wants you to give, and even the offering alongside of the tithe, and you are thinking of something else that you could do with that, instead of from your heart rejoice that God has blessed you and I'm able to give to him because he has blessed me. If you are giving grudgingly in your heart, you will walk away. And many have walked away from the church because they're grudgingly giving what God would have them to give without a spiritual understanding of it. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, being forced to please others. Well, the preacher, he'll know what I, if I don't give, if I don't tithe, then I can't be an associate. Preacher will know if I don't tithe, then I can't be a deacon. I can't be a Sunday school teacher. Listen to me. I don't know who tithes and who doesn't. That's on purpose. That's on purpose. I don't want to be up here preaching thinking I'm preaching you because you're not tithing. Now, that's between you and God. But in order for you to stay in church, you realize if you're going to be an associate of this church, if you're going to be a deacon, if you're going to serve in any capacity, that's part of the qualifications, because you need to be on a spiritual level of understanding. If you're not on a spiritual level of understanding, you're going to walk away at some point. At some point, you'll walk away. Don't walk away. Raise your level of faith so that you can be blessed by obedience to God's word. A higher spiritual level of faith. Another reason, other people. In verse 66, back in our text here, in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They went back together. One followed another. They left for the wrong reasons. Listen here, if the actions of someone else could cause me to walk away, how spiritual am I? We've had people leave the church because they got into it with other people in the church, and they didn't want to handle it biblically, and they just walked away. They were going to get out and walk away eventually, no matter what. Because if you allow somebody else to cause you to walk away from the will of God of your life, how spiritual can you be? No, if you're spiritual, you'll say, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to have this feeling every time I come in. I don't want my worship to be hindered. I don't know how some churches have church with so much conflict going on within the congregation, and especially with congregation with the pastor and all leadership of their church. That is crazy. I praise God for the 37 years of this church, and for the most part, most of it has been unified. You know, we come to have church. We come to hear the word of God preached. We come to sing and praise God. If there is a hindrance to my being in this church, I want to deal with it in a spiritual level so we can get rid of that. I don't want there to be hindrances. This is a place of refuge. If you're going to live the Christian life and continue to live the Christian life until your life comes to an end or to the rapture of the church, it's going to get more and more difficult. We need the refuge. Lastly, why people walk away. You walk away when it's hard to understand God. That's a hard saying. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it or who can understand it? Who can hear it and understand what he's saying?" Why do bad things happen to good people? They do. Because there's a devil. And we've never been promised that we would not have to go through trials. We would never been promised that we don't have to deal with the sufferings and losses. We've been promised that we'll not have to go it alone. I don't know what we're going to have to face as a church as we get closer and closer to the rapture of the church. The times are going to be horrendous in the world. And it will affect the church. It will affect us in certain. Our faith is what we have need of. It might be hard to understand, but know what you know. And don't walk away, but move to a higher spiritual level. A faith. Because we'll close with this. Look back with me. John chapter 6. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Now we have the apostles that he's addressing. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Yeah. Thou hast the words of eternal life. You're reminding yourself, which will help you to rise to a higher level of spiritual understanding. You have the words of life. And we believe. Sometimes we got to just reassure yourself. It's the Bible. I believe it. My faith is wavering. God, help me. Help mine unbelief, but I believe it. We believe and are sure. Are you sure you believe what the Bible says? You sure what you've been taught is what the Bible says? Are you sure that when you come to church that you're hearing the word of God? That's important. You need to know that. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, and have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil. Spake of Judas Iscariot. But the other 11, they would raise their faith to a higher level of spiritual understanding. Are you ready to move to a higher spiritual level? When you're this close to walking away, don't walk away. Where are you going to go? There is no other. There is no truth outside the truth of the Bible. Raise your faith to a higher spiritual level. And I tell you, one day, you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice for holding on to what you believe as it is connected to the words of God. If I could have every head bowed tonight and every eye closed. Don't walk away. Where are you going to go? God doesn't want you to walk. He didn't allow you to go through what you're going through for you to walk away. He allowed you to go through what you're going through so that you'll have an opportunity to move to a higher spiritual level of faith. You can do that. You can do that. Will you? Father, we bow before you. We do love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the truths, especially as you taught your disciples this lesson in this chapter that we have read. Thank you for helping us to see this as you would have us to see it and be strengthened by it as we face things that we don't truly understand, but by faith we accept and move forward stronger than what we were, more dedicated than what we were, ready to accomplish what you have for us for the rest of our lives. I pray that you bless in the invitation. Help us to make decisions that we need to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.